I'm going to let you in on a little secret from preaching class this morning. You know, usually I'll start off a sermon with a story, something that's happened in the news, maybe a question, some current event, maybe something that's happened here in our town. Well, and then that's related somehow to the passage that I'm preaching from, the truth that we're going to see in God's Word. Well, the reason for that is that a lot of times we need something to show us why what we're about to hear from the Scripture is important for us to hear. It's not just a time filler. It's not just something to add something to the sermon. It's something to help you see why what we're about to hear from God's Word is needed, why it's necessary for us. And I'm sure that my introductions have varying degrees of success to that end. But this morning, I don't think there is any better way to help us see how important Jesus' message to us is than just to repeat Jesus' words from just two verses here in Revelation 3, starting with verse 15. Jesus says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." For the church at Laodicea, for any church, to hear their king, to hear Jesus, the one who loved them so deeply that he died to save them from their sin, to say, "You are so distasteful to me that I want to spit you out of my mouth," is serious. Now, there's some debate about what Jesus means when he says he wishes they were either cold or hot. Some believe he means, "I wish that you would just stop playing around with the truth. Either believe it and go all out in following me, or just admit that you don't really believe what I'm saying and believe who I am, and just go the opposite direction." In other words, Jesus, they would say, Jesus is saying, stop kidding yourself and just be honest. And it's possible that that's true. It's possible that that's what Jesus is saying. That's definitely scriptural. Paul says we should examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should examine ourselves and look to see if we are genuinely believing and following Christ. So it's not that that's an unscriptural idea, but I don't believe that that's what Jesus is saying here. See, Laodicea was situated geographically distant from sources of both hot water and cold water. And by the time the water reached Laodicea, whether it started out hot, whether it started out cold, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. The hot water was useful for things like bathing, for medicinal purposes. The cold water was good to drink. But whether the water started off hot or whether it started off cold, both of which were useful, by the time it got to Laodicea, it had worked its way to room temperature and it was good for nothing. I believe it was Cicero that said the water at Laodicea was the worst water in the world. And Jesus sends this message to the church at Laodicea and tells them that he wants to do with them what they want to do with their water. Hot water's useful, cold water's useful, but lukewarm water is not good for anything. And a lukewarm church will not have the saving, preserving, transforming effect on the culture and the world around it that Jesus desires it to have. It's useless. Now, so what happened in Laodicea? And I think it's the same thing that can easily happen to us in the church in the United States. Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was so wealthy that when it was destroyed by an earthquake, they turned down monetary help from the emperor, from the Roman government, because they had plenty of money to rebuild their city all by themselves. They didn't need the help. It would be like Manhattan, Kansas getting leveled by a tornado, and we tell the state of Kansas and the federal government, FEMA, you know, thanks for offering, but we don't need your help. We've got plenty. We're going to take care of it, and we're going to rebuild it. And maybe the Laodiceans were so proud, if we were like them, we'd say, and we'll do it better ourselves anyway. As a city, Laodicea was rich. They needed nothing except good drinking water. And the mindset of the Laodicean culture had crept into the church. See, Jesus isn't writing to the whole city when he says these words. He's writing to the church when he says, you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. See, the church in Laodicea thought they had everything they needed. They thought that they were self-sufficient, but they didn't realize they had built for themselves a house of mirrors that was really distorting to them their true spiritual condition. They looked at themselves. They saw wealth. They saw prosperity. They saw success. But Jesus looked at them and said, you're actually wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked. See, God had blessed them materially. And when it came to material things, they were prosperous. But when it came to spiritual things, they were bankrupt. And they were bankrupt with no hope of getting things turned around. They were blind. They were naked. You know, how are you even going to get out of your house and make any money to get out of your bankrupt state if you don't have any clothes to wear? See, their material blessings had become a spiritual curse. But Jesus, in his love and his mercy, came to them with this message. And I believe because of the prosperity of our nation, it's a message that we need to pay close attention to. You know, you may have never experienced hunger. You might not consider yourself rich by U.S. standards, but by the standards of most of the world, you are considered filthy rich. So how do you keep the material blessings that God has given to you? How do you keep the things that God has given you to enjoy, that God has given you to be stewards of, from becoming a spiritual curse? Well, first, you need to assess your situation. You need to honestly ask yourself the question, am I lukewarm? That's what the church in Laodicea needed to realize. And we need to ask ourselves that question. Am I lukewarm? As a church, we should ask ourselves, are we lukewarm as a community, as a body? Are we lukewarm? Are you happy with this life? And not all that concerned about the life that comes after this. You're not all that concerned about eternity, whether for yourself or for people around you. Does it bother you that people you see each day could be headed to an eternity of suffering, separated from God? You know, as a church, are we okay with the length of time that it's been since someone was baptized? Are you happy with this life and not as concerned about the life to come as you should be? Are you self-sufficient? You know, we usually see self-sufficiency, especially in the United States, we see self-sufficiency as a very, very, very good thing. If you can take care of yourself, then that's great. We expect people to grow up, to be adults, to be able to take care of themselves. And God designed us to be able to work to provide for our physical needs. Being able to work and take care of yourselves and learning to do that, that's a good thing. Kids are supposed to grow up and be able to provide for their own needs. Working to provide for yourself and for your family is a good thing. But self-sufficiency in a spiritual sense is dangerous. It can show up in different ways, but I want to just show you a few ways that self-sufficiency in your spiritual life might show up. It might show up in a lackadaisical prayer life. You know, do you pray with desperation? Do you pray like it's a matter of life and death? John Piper has this quote about lukewarmness as it was related to prayer. He says, the lukewarm are spiritually self-satisfied. To find out whether you are among that number, don't look into your head to see if you think that you are needy. Rather, look at your prayer life. It doesn't matter what we think in our head. The test of whether we are in bondage to spiritual self-satisfaction is how earnest and frequent and extended our prayers for change are. Do you seek the Lord earnestly and often in secret for deeper knowledge of Christ, for greater earnestness in prayer, for more boldness in witness, for sweeter joy in the Holy Spirit, for deeper sorrow for sin, for warmer compassion for the lost, for more divine power to love? Or is the coolness and perfunctoriness of your prayer life exhibit A, that you are spiritually self-satisfied and lukewarm? That hits pretty close to home when I look at my own prayer life at times. Our prayer life is one thing we should look at to see if, are we lukewarm? Are we lazy and lackadaisical in prayer? Another question to ask is, do you see a great need in your life for the Word of God to penetrate into your heart and your soul and change you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you long to put more and more and more of God's Word in your heart because you realize that your heart is evil and deceitful, and it will trick you, and the enemy will turn your heart against you to try to get you to believe lies, and the only antidote for that is to put God's Word into your heart so that you believe what is true, so that you see what's right and true and believe that. If you don't see a great need for the truth of God's Word to permeate your life, then you might be lukewarm. Are you blind to your own spiritual condition? Do people that you know love and care about you, people you respect, do they see things in your life that you can't see? Do they see problems in your life that you are blind to? The Laodiceans were blind. They didn't see these things in their spiritual lives. If there are people, or you're reading God's Word and God points out something to you that you see evidence that there's something wrong, but you're not willing to admit it, and you just kind of push it off to the side, that's evidence of lukewarmness. You know, how do you respond to rebuke from people? How do you respond to Scripture that points out something and you see it in your life, or someone says something and you know they're right and you know you need to change? Do you see it as an act of love from God? Do you see that? Look at verse 19. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. When God points out something in your life that needs to change, when God points out sin in your life, do you see that as an act of love from your Father in heaven? Do you see that as an act of love from your Savior, wanting to show you that the way you're going is wrong? Or do you try to just push it off and say, it's not that bad. I'm better than a lot of people. Those rebukes, those corrections that we get from God's Word and from godly people around us are evidence of God's love for you. Do you give, but give reluctantly, or you give just because you want people to know how giving you are? You know, here's one that just kind of bugs me. So if this has happened before, now you'll know, I guess. But, you know, if somebody asks you how they can pray for you and you can't think of anything that you need prayer for, I mean, I'm like, I could give you a list of things that I need prayer for. Now, there may be times where all the things that I need prayer for, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm ready to share that with someone. Now, that's a different story. But if you can't think of anything that you need prayer for, that may be an indicator that you are self-sufficient in your spiritual life. And you know, there are all kinds of things we need God's help for in our lives. Did I miss anybody? You know, I was in the prayer time earlier, I was saying, you know, I think there's a little bit of lukewarmness in all of us. There's something there that we need to change because spiritual gravity moves towards lukewarmness. Unless you are pushing against that lukewarmness, you're going to be headed in that direction. And I'll just say, if you think you're safe, if you think there's no danger that you could ever become lukewarm, then be careful because you might be lukewarm and you just don't know it. Because we need to watch out for lukewarmness. Hot water will naturally become lukewarm. Cold water will naturally become lukewarm. And if we are not fighting against lukewarmness in our lives, spiritually, we will move in that direction. You know, and then one final thing I'll say is sometimes we can look at, okay, well, I'm doing great. I'm praying. I'm reading the Bible. I'm sharing my faith. I'm doing all these things. Well, we also have, Satan can be sneaky. He can start causing you to put your hope in those activities rather than letting your Bible reading and your prayer and everything you do in ministry to people as a way to help you depend more on him. We need to use our spiritual disciplines in a way that helps us connect to Jesus, not be self-righteous in the way that we are practicing those spiritual disciplines. You know, if you want to make sure that material blessings are not becoming a spiritual curse in your life, assess your situation. Start by asking some good, hard questions. And make sure you're getting good, honest answers about the health of your spiritual life. Is it hot or cold? Or have you let your spiritual temperature gradually become lukewarm to the point where you're not useful? Where your life is not much different from the good people that you see around you all the time who aren't believers? You know, we can be good people. It's not that hard to be a good person. But to live for Christ in a world that is hostile to him, that takes the power of God. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we need to assess our situation. We need to ask ourselves, are we lukewarm? Do we have issues like that Jesus is pointing out here that are in our hearts and our minds? And then we need to look at what Jesus' advice is in verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. So Jesus says, buy from me gold. Buy gold from me that's refined by fire. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, Peter says this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, buy from me gold refined by fire, he is saying, invest in the things that are going to increase your faith in me. Invest in what is going to last. Invest in the things that are eternal. And that's what we need to do to avoid lukewarmness, is invest in what lasts. What the church in Laodicea needed and what we need is faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could say to a mountain, be thrown into the sea. So it's not that we need greater and greater faith. It's we need faith in a greater and greater God. We need to see more of who Jesus is. Increasing your faith does not start with trying to make yourself trust Jesus more. It starts with seeing more and more of who Jesus really is. Do you really believe that Jesus gave up his life for you? Do you really believe Jesus left heaven, became a man, and went through all the temptations and trials he did in order to rescue you from your sin? Do you really believe that he's coming back again? That he's given you a name that we saw last week? He's given you a name that marks you as his own and that marks you as those who will have eternal life. As you increase your belief in Jesus and seeing who he is, more and more of who he is, do you know and understand why the kingdom of heaven is referred to as a pearl of great price? Why it's referred to as a treasure hidden in a field? Why it's referred to as a great banquet, a great feast that people are invited into? All of those things are part of us learning more and more of who Jesus is, seeing him more completely, seeing him more fully. And what Jesus is saying here is put your time, put your money, put your energy into things that will give you an eternal perspective. Put your time and money and energy into things that will help you see more of who I am. You know, does the music you listen to help you see things the way Jesus sees them? Do the movies and TV shows you watch reinforce your faith? Or do we do this kind of thing where, well, I'm going to fill my mind with a lot of stuff over here that then I know I need to get God's word into my heart to counteract all the things that I'm choosing to watch and choosing to listen to? What are we investing in? If we invest in things that move us toward lukewarmness, we'll get lukewarm. If we invest in things that help us to see more of who Jesus is, we will have greater and greater faith. That is buying gold refined by fire. And he says, buy white clothing. The white clothing is white is talking about our purity, our righteousness before God, the righteousness that comes by faith, only through faith in Jesus. You know, it covers the nakedness of the Laodiceans, but it would also stand out among the black, expensive black clothing that the people of Laodicea would wear. Buy white clothing. Buy salve for your eyes. Remember, they're blind. They can't see. But in Laodicea, there was a salve that was used to treat eye diseases, eye problems. And Jesus says, you need salve that's going to cure your spiritual blindness. Buy that salve from me. Your eyes have gotten so clouded by the luxuries and pleasures of this life that the reality of eternity is not on your heart. So Jesus is saying, don't keep buying the things that are false. Don't keep buying the things that are empty. Buy the things that are true. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2 says this, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. You're living up in Madison, being on the campus there for a while. I learned over time that if there was someone out on the street that was asking for money, that I shouldn't give them money. You know, and they actually did, it was like a whole research project that some people did and wrote a story about it. So what if you give somebody money on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, what's it going to get used for? Drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. I mean, they'll say they want it for food. They'll say they want it for a bus ticket. They'll give you a lot of different ideas of what that money was going to be used for, but what it most of the time gets used for are drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. So I learned, if somebody wants food and I'm going to help them, I'm going to go buy food. I'm not going to give them cash because I know it's not going to get used for food. But I think sometimes we do things like just like that in our spiritual lives. You know, we invest time and energy and money into things that only serve to make us lukewarm and useless in the kingdom of God, rather than in things that will help us grow in our faith, things that will give us an eternal perspective, things that will increase our fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. And if we do that, if we spend time, if we spend energy, if we labor to invest in things that just make us more and more lukewarm, we're doing essentially the same thing that a homeless person would do who's given money for food and they go out and spend it on drugs. They're spending money that could satisfy them with food on something that will harm them, something that will not satisfy them. We need to assess our situation. Are we lukewarm? We need to invest in what lasts. And then if you're following closely Jesus' advice to those in Laodicea, you may have noticed a problem. So here's the problem. How does a poor, blind, naked, wretched person go to buy gold, clothing, and salve? You're poor, you're naked, you're blind. How are you going to go buy these things? Where does a poor, blind, naked person go to buy anything? Well, you don't go anywhere. You wouldn't go anywhere. You're naked. You know, if you're not going to go get a job if you don't have any clothes to wear to that interview or wear to that work. You don't go anywhere. You let Jesus in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. You let Jesus in to eat with you. It's a sign of a covenant relationship. In the Middle Eastern culture, you would not eat with an enemy. Eating with someone was a sign of this committed relationship. You know, if you want to get rid of lukewarmness in your life, you don't just try harder. If you try to get rid of lukewarmness by trying harder, by trying to be more committed, you're just going to replace one kind of lukewarmness with another kind of lukewarmness. It's just going to be one that looks more spiritual. If you want to get rid of lukewarmness, you need to let Jesus in, even though you're naked. And you need to let Jesus see your nakedness and clothe you. Even though you can't pay Jesus back for everything he's done for you. Even though you've lived in a way that makes Jesus want to vomit you out. The only way to get rid of lukewarmness is to let Jesus come in and light a fire. You need to open up the door and let Jesus come in with truth. And as Jesus comes in with truth and you submit to that truth, the lies that you have been trapping inside, the lies that you've been holding in because the door's been closed, are going to get pushed out by the truth that Jesus brings in. You need to let Jesus in and receive his help. And I want you to see what Jesus does for those who repent and receive help from him. But before you can see that, we need to understand something about Jesus. This verse may be familiar from Daniel 7:14. It says, and to him, meaning Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. You see, Jesus conquered the temptation to blend in with the world. He conquered the temptation to enjoy the pleasures of this world rather than fulfill his purpose and sacrifice himself on the cross. And after conquering, Jesus sat down with his Father on his Father's throne. Jesus has been given all authority. He is the King of the universe. Now, so Jesus has been given that authority. He's the King. Now listen to this. To lukewarm, pathetic, naked, blind people that are living lives so distasteful for him to him that he wants to spit them out of his mouth, Jesus says, repent, conquer the lukewarmness by letting me in, and I will come in and eat with you. You will eat with me, and I will give you a place to sit with me on my throne, and you will sit with me on my throne. You see that? Look in verse 21. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. If you repent, to those who conquer that lukewarmness in their lives by letting Jesus actually come in and conquer it for you, Jesus says, I'm going to do for you what my Father has done for me. I'm going to give you a place on my throne. Are you lukewarm? Has the world become so attractive to you that loving Jesus with all of your heart just seems too radical? When you hear about someone giving up a prosperous career so they can tell people about Jesus, does that sound wasteful to you? When someone loses their life for the sake of the gospel, is your initial instinct to think, well, we shouldn't really try to go into places where people don't want us to come? Or do you not recognize that if every tribe, tongue, and nation on the planet is going to hear the good news about Jesus, Christians are going to have to die in order for that to happen? Maybe you're here this morning and you know you've never let Jesus into your life. It's possible you've attended church for years, but somehow you've managed to keep Jesus on the outside where Jesus is safe. Jesus is on the outside. He can't really mess up too much stuff in my life if I keep him out there. And I want to have Jesus around for those times when I really need him, but I really want to keep him out where he can't mess up too much stuff that I really enjoy in this life. You haven't wanted Jesus to come in and radically overhaul your life. You like the things of this world. And you're afraid that Jesus might just make you say no to something that you really enjoy. See, the problem with that is that keeping Jesus on the outside keeps you a slave. When you keep Jesus on the outside, you keep yourself a slave to the things of this world. It's only Jesus that can set you free from those things. It's only as Jesus comes in to eat and drink with you that you can be free from the slavery of the things in this world and live in the freedom of the kingdom of God. And if you've never let Jesus in, please do that today. Repent of living in self-sufficiency, thinking that you've got everything under control on your own, trying to do things on your own. Repent from that and believe in Jesus. Trust him to set you free from sin now and for all of eternity. It could be that even though you've been walking with Jesus by faith for some time, that there's an area of your life that you know you've been closing off to Jesus. There's some dark corner that's hiding something. You may have even been hiding it from yourself. And the Holy Spirit is shining his spotlight on it this morning. Jesus knows that it's there. And there may be something there that you need to let Jesus open up that corner, that little closet in your heart, and submit that area of your life to the truth of his word. There may be something that you're indulging, maybe a little sin, maybe a big sin, but you don't realize that that is holding you captive. And Jesus wants to set you free from that. He loves you. He's not pointing that out because he wants to make your life miserable. He's pointing that out because he loves you. He rebukes those he loves. He points out those things to those who he wants to repent, who he wants to conquer, and who he wants to sit on his throne with him. He's saying, I don't want you to stay trapped in that sin. I want to set you free, and I'm calling you to repent. And he says, be zealous and repent. Don't just kind of repent. Be zealous about it. It may be that there's something in your life that you need to confess to someone else. You need to confess it to God. You need to receive his grace, his forgiveness. But there may be something you also need to confess to another person and ask them to pray for you, that area of your life would get cleaned up. James tells us to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about this morning, I just want to encourage you, don't languish in a pit of lukewarmness. Repent and believe Jesus to set you free, to set you free now, to live like one who is one day going to sit with Jesus on his throne.